The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on April 21st, 1984 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 12, Verse 69 through 135.
Mahaprabhu Bhakta Gana Sange Nirantar Kriya Kore Sankirtana Rangi. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acts in the society of his pure devotees, performing his pastimes and spreading the Sankirtan movement. Some of the prominent devotees like Advaita Acharya used to invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take his meals at their homes. The Lord accepted such invitations accompanied by his devotees. In this way, the Lord passed some days in great jubilation. Then the car festival of Lord Jagannath approached. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first of all called for Kashi Misra, then for the superintendent of the temple, then for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When these three people came before the Lord, he begged them to wash the temple known as Gundicha. Report: this Gundicha temple is situated 2 miles northeast of the Jagannath temple. At the time of the Rath Yatra festival, Lord Jagannath goes to the Gundicha temple from his original temple and stays there for 1 week. After 1 week, he returns to his original temple. It is understood by hearsay that the wife of Indradumna, the king who established the Jagannath temple, was known as Gundicha. There is also mention of the name of the Gundicha temple in authoritative scripture. The area of the Gundicha temple is estimated to be 288 cubits by 215 cubits. The main temple inside is about 36 cubits by 30 cubits, and the meeting hall is 32 cubits by 30 cubits. Cubits is about a foot and a half, isn't it? Puricha kohiyami sabo se bhaktumar, je tumar icha se ikortabba amar. Upon hearing the Lord's request for them to wash the Gundicha temple, the Puricha, the superintendent of the temple, said, "My dear sir, we are all your servants. Whatever your desire, whatever you desire, is our duty to perform. The king gave a special order for me to do without delay whatever your lordship orders. My dear lord, washing the temple is not service befitting you. Nonetheless, if you wish to do so, it is to be accepted as one of your pastimes. To wash the temple, you need many water pots and brooms. Therefore, order me, I can immediately bring all these things to you." As soon as the superintendent understood the desire of the Lord, he immediately delivered 100 new water pots and 100 brooms for sweeping the temple. Arodine prabhate loyad nichagan, shri haste sabarange lepila chandan. The next day, early in the morning, the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his personal associates with him and with his own hand smeared sandalwood pulp on their bodies. Sri haste dila sabare ako ako marjani sabogana loya prabhu cholila aponi. He then gave each devotee a broom with his own hand, and taking all of them personally with him, the Lord went to Gundicha. Gundicha mundire gela kurite marjan prathame marjani loya kurilo shodhan. In this way, the Lord and his associates went to cleanse the Gundicha temple. At first, they cleansed the temple with the brooms. Bitor mandir upar sakal maji lo, shinghasana maji punashtapona korilo. The Lord cleansed everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. He then took up the sitting place, singhasana, cleansed it, and again put it in its original place. Chota buru mandir koilo marjana shodhan, Pache toiche sodi loshi jaganamohan. Thus the Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple's buildings, big and small, and finally cleansed the area between the temple and the meeting place. Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operation just to instruct others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting and at the same time performing their respective duties. Premolase shodhane shodhena loyena krishnana bhakta gana krishna kohe kore nijokam dhuli dushartanu dekite ashohoban kaha kaha asru jale kore shangamarjan. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. In this way he became transcendentally beautiful. At times when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears, and in some place he even cleansed with those tears. After this, the place where the deity's food was kept, Bhoga Mandir, was cleansed. Then the yard was cleansed and all the residential quarters, one after another. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw, dust, and grains of sand in one place, he gathered it in all in his cloth and threw it outside. E mato bhakta gana kore nijo vashe trinaduli bahire felai param horishe. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees in great jubilation began to gather straws and dust with their own cloths and throw them outside the temple. Prabhu kohe ke koto koriyacho shangamarjan trinaduli dekile man janibo porishram. The Lord then told the devotees, I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple simply by seeing all the straw and dust you have collected outside. Even though all the devotees collected dirt in one pile, the dirt collected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was much greater. 1 against 100. Emato abhyantar korilo marjan punasavakare dilo korila bantan. After the inside of the temple was cleansed, the Lord again allotted areas for the devotees to cleanse. The Lord then ordered everyone to cleanse the inside of the temple very perfectly by taking finer dust, straws, and grains of sand and throwing them outside. Sabavaishnavaloya jabe duivar sodilo deki Mahaprabhu mone santosha hoilo. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas cleansed the temple for the second time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see the cleansing work. Aro sata jana sata gate jalabhari pratamei loya che kala peka kori. While the temple was being swept, about 100 men stood ready with filled water pots, and they simply awaited the Lord's order to throw them. Jalan boli jabe Mahaprabhu kohilo tabe sata gatha ani Prabhu age dilo. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for water, all the men immediately brought the 100 water pots, which were completely filled, and delivered them before the Lord. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first washed the main temple and then thoroughly washed the ceiling, the walls, the floor, the sitting place, and everything else within the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and his devotees began to throw water onto the ceiling. When this water fell, it washed the walls and the floor. Sri Haste Korena Singhasanera Marjana Prabhu Age Jolani Deya Bhakta Gana. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to wash the sitting place of Lord Jagannath with his own hands, and all the devotees began to bring water to the Lord. Bhakta gana kore griha madde prakalan nijo nijo haste kore mandir amarjan. All the devotees within the temple began to wash. Each one had a broom in his hand, and this way they cleansed the temple of the Lord. Keho jala ani dei Mahaprabhu kore deho keho jala deo tara charana upare. Someone brought water to pour into the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone poured water on his lotus feet. Keho lukaya kore se jalopan keho magi loya keho annera kore da. The water that fell from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drunk by someone who hid himself. Someone else begged for that water, and another person was giving that water in charity. After the room was washed, the water was let out through an outlet, and it then flowed and filled the yard outside.
Nijabaste koilo prabhu grihe shang marjan, mohaprabhu nijabaste majilo shinghasan.
The Lord mopped the rooms with his own clothes, and he polished the throne with them also. In this way all the rooms were cleansed with 100 water pots. After the rooms had been cleansed, the minds of the devotees were as clean as the rooms.
Nirmala shitala shnigno kodilo mandire, apuna hidaya jano dhorilo bahire.
When the temple was cleansed, it was purified, cool and pleasing, just as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared. Since hundreds of men were engaged in bringing water from the lake, there was no place to stand on the banks. Consequently, someone began to draw water from a well. Hundreds of devotees brought water in the pots, and hundreds took the empty pots away to fill them up again.
Nityananda dvaita swarupa bharati puri, iha bino arasaba ane jala bhori.
With the exception of Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Sarup Damodar, Brahmananda Bharati, and Paramananda Puri, everyone was engaged in filling the water pots and bringing them there.
Gote gote teki koto goto abangi gelo, soto soto goto lokataha loya ailo.
Many of the water pots were broken when people collided with one another, and hundreds of men had to bring new water pots to fill.
Jalo puri gora doya kore hari dwani, Krishna hari dwani vina ara nahi suni.
Some people were filling the pots, and others were washing the rooms. But everyone was engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and Hari. Chanting the holy name of Hari and Krishna is known as Hari Dwani.
Krishna Krishna kohi kore gotera prarthana, Krishna Krishna kohi kore goto samarpana.
One person begged for a water pot by chanting the holy names Krishna, Krishna. Another delivered a pot while chanting Krishna, Krishna.
Jai jai kohe sei kohe Krishna name, Krishna namo helo shanket shabakame.
Whenever anyone had to speak, he did so by uttering the holy name of Krishna. Consequently, the holy name of Krishna became an indication for everyone who wanted something. Was the password to get anything done. You just say Krishna, Krishna.
Prema veshe prabhu kohe Krishna Krishna nam, akale prema veshe kore shata janer kam.
The word for name in Sanskrit is nam. So Krishna name means Krishna nam. Name of Krishna is Krishna nam. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was vibrating the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love, he himself was performing the work of hundreds of men.
Sata haste koren jano kalana marjana pratijana pasheka jai korana shikan.
It appeared as though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were cleansing and washing with hundreds of hands. He approached everyone just to teach them how to work.
Balo karmo deki tare kore prasang shan mone na milile kore pavitra bartsan.
When he saw someone doing nicely, the Lord praised him. But if he saw that someone was not working to his satisfaction, he immediately chastised that person, not bearing him any grudge.
Tumi balo koriyacho shikaho onnere.
The Lord would say, "You have done well. Please teach this to others so that they may act in the same way." As soon as they heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say this, everyone became ashamed. Thus they began to work with great attention.
Tabe prakalana koilo shi jagamohan, bhogamandiradi tabe koilo prakalan.
They washed the Jagamohan area and then the place where food was kept. All other places were also washed. In this way, the meeting place was washed, the entire yard, the raised sitting places, the kitchen, and every other room.
Mandirera.
Anyways.
Thus all the places around the temple were thoroughly washed within and without. After everything was thoroughly washed, a Vaishnava from Bengal who was very intelligent and simple came and poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord. Se jala loya apone pana koilo taha deki prabhur mone dukho rosha hoilo. The Gaudiya Vaishnava then took that water and drank it himself. Seeing that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a little unhappy and was also outwardly angry. Jodapi goshai tare hoyache santosh dharma sangstapun lagi bahire maharosh. Although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles. The Lord then called for Sarup Damodar and told him, just see the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnav. Ishar mandire ramona pododorai doailo sejal aponi loya pana koilo. This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself. I now do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnav has greatly implicated me. Tabe sarupa gosai tar ghare hato diya dekha mare purir bahir rakhi lena loya. At this point, Srup Damodar Goswami caught the Gaudiya Vaishnava by the neck and giving him a little push, ejected him from the Gundicha Puri temple and made him stay outside. After Srup Damodar Goswami returned within the temple, he requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to excuse an innocent person. Tabi Mahaprabhu mone santosha hoila shari kori dui pashe shobare boshaila. After this incident, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. He then asked all of the devotees to sit down in two lines on both sides. Apone boshiya maje, aponara hate, trina kakur kuta lagila kuraite. The Lord then personally sat down in the middle and picked up all kinds of straw, grains of sand, and dirty things. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was picking up the straws and grains of sand, he said, I shall gather everyone's collections and I shall ask whoever has collected less than all the others to pay a fine of sweet cakes and sweet rice. In this way, all the quarters of the Gundicha temple were completely cleansed and cleared. All quarters were cool and spotless, like one's cleansed and pacified mind. When the water from the different rooms was finally let out through the halls, it appeared as if new rivers were rushing out to meet the waters of the ocean. Ematu purudhar age poto joto shakal shodi lotaha kebani be koto. Outside the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed, and no one could tell exactly how this was done. Purport. In commenting on the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally giving instructions on how one should receive Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within one's cleansed and pacified heart. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse the heart, as prescribed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. In this age, everyone's heart is unclean. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Hridyantasto Hyabhadrani, to wash all dirty things accumulated within the heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The first result will be that the heart is cleansed. Cheto darpano marjanam. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17 also confirms this statement. Srinavatang swa kotha krishna punya sravana kirtana hridyantasto hyabhadrani vidunoti surhitsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Super Soul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. In other words, here, Prabhupada is explaining Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's explanation how we receive Krishna with our pure and pacified heart, and how the heart is cleansed. Now this is also being explained by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, by hearing and relishing his messages. He goes on, if the devotee at all wants to cleanse his heart, he must chant and hear the glories of Krishna, of the Lord Sri Krishna. Shinvatang Swakota Krishna. This is a simple process. Krishna himself will help cleanse the heart because he is already seated there. Krishna wants to continue living within the heart and he wants to give directions, but one has to keep his heart as clean as Lord Chaitanya kept the Gundicha temple. The devotee therefore has to cleanse his heart just as the Lord cleansed the Gundicha temple. In this way one can be pacified and enriched in devotional service. If the heart is filled with straws, grains of sand, weeds or dust, in other words, anya bilasha purna means so many other, filled with so many materialistic desires. Continues, one cannot enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. The heart must be cleansed of all material motives brought about through fruitive work, speculative knowledge, the mystic yoga system, and so many other forms of so-called meditation. The heart must be cleansed without ulterior motive. As Srila Rupa Goswami says, Anya bilashita sunyam jnana karma anadvitam. In other words, there should not be any external motive. One should not attempt material upliftment, understanding the Supreme by speculative knowledge, fruitive activity, severe austerity and penance, and so on. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as these are present within the heart should be understood to be unclean and therefore unfit to serve as Krishna's sitting place. We cannot perceive the Lord's presence in our hearts unless our hearts are cleansed. Just like in the temple, before we install the deity, we put the throne, we cleanse it. Then, after everything is clean, then we invite the Lord to sit there. Similarly, we can't expect Krishna to sit in our heart, to give us advice, to be our constant companion in the highest spiritual sense, when we're keeping our heart filled with other motives than trying to satisfy Krishna. As long as the other motives are there, the heart is unclean. As long as the heart is unclean, we won't be able to perceive Krishna sitting there. As long as we're not able to perceive Krishna sitting in our heart, we won't feel satisfied and happy to the maximum through devotional service. So the most important thing is to keep the heart clean and bring Krishna into the heart, and from there everything progresses. So the purport continues. Just like a fog, even though Krishna may be in the heart, even though he's in the heart, like the sun, but due to the presence of fog, sometimes you can't see the sun. Even though Krishna is there, there's a fog. And we have to cleanse that fog away, blow it away. Or just like Lord Chaitanya gives the example, Krishna is there, but you see him in the mirror of the consciousness. Unless the consciousness is cleansed,
like dust being wiped off the mirror, then the mirror will not act properly. You won't be able to see things, see Krishna as he is. In other words, endeavor, a material desire is explained as a desire to enjoy the material world to its fullest extent. In modern language, this is called economic development. An inordinate desire for economic development is considered to be like straws and grains of sand within the heart. If one is overly engaged in material activity, the heart will always remain disturbed, as stated in by Narottam Das Thakur. Shangshara bishanole divanishihya jole juraitena kainupai. In other words, endeavor for material opulence is against the principle of devotional service. Material enjoyment includes activities such as great sacrifices for auspicious activity, charity, austerity, elevation to the higher planetary systems, and even living happily within the material world. Endeavor for material opulence is against the principle of devotional service. Material enjoyment includes activities such as great sacrifices for auspicious activity, charity, austerity, elevation to the higher planetary system, and even living happily within the material world. These are all endeavor for material opulence against the principle of devotional service. Some of them, people might think, are actually spiritual, giving charity, elevation to higher planetary system, austerity. In themselves, even great sacrifices for auspicious activity, or just living happily in the material world. Someone who wants to live happily in this material world, that, or someone who wants to do great sacrifices for their religious upliftment. This is all a desire to enjoy the material world, which is an obstacle to our advancement in devotional service. Actually, to advance in devotional service, we shouldn't be concerned with living happily in the material world or not. We should be concerned with advancing in Krishna consciousness, with pleasing Krishna. Just like Sudama Vipra, his wife used to always encourage him, that, why don't you go to Krishna? He's so rich. We're living here in abject poverty. You could go to Krishna and get some money from him, and we could be rich and wealthy, and we wouldn't have any problem. He's your school friend, your dear friend. You always tell me how friendly you are with Krishna. You were schoolmates together. Here we're suffering. I don't have a new sari. I don't have proper bangles. We don't go out anywhere. Nothing. We're just practically, you just go out as a Brahmin and get a few alms, and we're hardly able to pull on. Just like nagging every day. Finally, he said, all right, I'll go. He surrendered to his wife. He had nothing, so I have to bring something to Krishna. What to bring? They had nothing. They were so poor. So then he went to the neighbors and he begged some chipped rice, some chira, like we have here at Chira Doi Festival. Then he went to see Krishna, his friend. But then he thought, I can't ask Krishna for anything. But anyway, I can't stay in my house. My wife won't let me live without going to see Krishna. So let me go and see Krishna. And I won't ask him for anything, but at least I get the opportunity of seeing him. So then he went, of course, and many of you probably know the story, how when he came, immediately all the gate guards, everyone, they sent a message up, and Krishna immediately had him brought in, set him down on his own elevated seat. And personally, because Krishna was playing the role as a Kshatriya, and Sudama Vipra was playing, of course, as a Brahmana. So the Kshatriya worships the Brahmanas as the spiritual masters of society. Traditionally, the Brahmanas, they live very simply, very plainly, being independent of so many material entanglements, so that it's very easy for them to go back to Godhead. They don't have all the material attached. That's why Lord Chaitanya, he refused to see King Prataparudra. He said, he's a king, he's a materialist. He has so much wealth, power, politics, women. I won't see him, he's a materialist. although he was actually a devotee, but just to set a certain standard. He was very much against seeing these worldly people. Of course, later he did see King Prataparudra when he had to go in disguise as a devotee to see Lord Chaitanya. He wouldn't see him as a opulent materialist. He had to come as a humble Vaishnava. Many cases like that. Anyway, that's another area. So, of course, here, Vipra-Sudama was going to see Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, while he was here on the earth playing a pastime as a king. So that time, Lord Krishna personally bathed the feet of Vipra-Sudama. And the goddess of fortune, Rukmini, with her own hand, she was fanning him with a chamara fan. This way they were greeting him with sweet words, they were washing his feet. He was overwhelmed. They sat him down on their own couch, on their resting place, and he just couldn't believe it. And then Krishna says, "What's this?" He saw he had a little package there. He said, "You brought something for me?" He said, "No, no." I said, "How could I offer this?" He said, "No, no, I know you brought this for me. What is it? By force he took it, my dear friend. What you have brought me?" Then he opened it up and saw, "Here is some chira." He said, "Oh, for me, so kind of you." And he took one bite. And he said, "No, don't take it. This is not suitable for you." "No, no, this is wonderful." He took another bite. And he was going to take the third bite when Rukmini put her hand on his hand and said that, "My lord, if you take three bites, I'll be in great trouble." Explained that this is not his own. He had to go out and beg it from someone. Says the goddess of fortune, she always reciprocates with anyone, gives anything to the Lord. So by you taking the offering once, I have to give him all the opulence. By taking it twice, I have to, of the material world, by twice I have to give him equal to yourself. But third, if you take it the third time, then since he took it from someone else, then I have to give him more opulence than you have. And that's not possible. So twice is enough. So of course when Vipra-Sudama came back to his house, it was transformed into a big palace and everything. And his wife was very happy she had all the facility. But he used it all for Krishna's service. So sometimes Krishna gives opulence to his devotee. And sometimes he keeps the devotee in a difficult situation. That's also a purification. Sometimes that difficult situation may be just what the devotee needs to go back to Godhead. There are so many devotees who don't go back to Godhead, who only get up to the heavenly planets because they were hankering for a comfortable material life. And when they die, that's just what they get. They go to Indraloka or Satyaloka or Gandharvaloka and they stay there. And again they come back down. Or if they're lucky, they can from there gradually go up. But it's a long, they miss the movement of Lord Chaitanya. Once you take birth in heavenly planets, you're missing Lord Chaitanya's movement unless it goes up there. Because the lifetime there is thousands and thousands of years. And this movement here is only for a short time, 10,000 years. So in this lifetime, if we can focus our attention on getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, we can actually finish up all of the business of this material world and go back to home, back to Godhead. We can get pure devotional service just by trying to do whatever is going to be more pleasing to Nitai Gaur. So Bhaktisiddhanta continues, or Srila Prabhupada continues to quote Bhaktisiddhanta. But modernized material benefits are like the dust of material contamination. When this dust is agitated by the whirlwind of fruitive activity, it overcomes the heart. Thus the mirror of the heart is covered with dust. There are many desires to perform auspicious and inauspicious activities. But people do not know how life after life they are keeping their hearts unclean. One who cannot give up the desire for fruitive activity is understood to be covered by the dust of material contamination. Karmis generally think that the interaction of fruitive activities can be counteracted by another karma or fruitive activity. This is certainly a mistaken conception. If one is deluded by such a conception, he is cheated by his own activity. Such activities have been compared to an elephant's bathing. An elephant may bathe very thoroughly, but as soon as it comes out of the river, it immediately takes some sand from the land and throws it all over its body. If one suffers due to his past fruitive activities, he cannot counteract his suffering by performing auspicious activities. The sufferings of human society cannot be counteracted by material plans. The only way suffering can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness. When one takes to Krishna consciousness and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, the cleansing of the heart begins. Very wonderful purport. You see, there are many desires to perform auspicious and inauspicious activities. I guess in the West we always focus more on the inauspicious activities because they're so prominent. Although certainly there are, but in India it's a Maya that like it's an auspicious activity to serve your mother and father. I guess that's here also, but not so much. Or it's an auspicious activity to do certain type of fruitive type of sacrifices and things. So in India you find many people, they think, well, I can't render devotional service because I have to do this type of auspicious activity and it'll be offensive for me not to do it. They don't realize that more important than a ritualistic auspicious activity is directly to engage in devotional service. And of course all over the world the inauspicious activities, those also pull people. Eating meat, fish, egg, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, so on. So these are, of course, the distractions. And they keep our hearts unclean. Just like in India, the people, some of the big businessmen, the level of cheating there, of course, here it's the same, except I haven't been here, so I don't know all the examples. But here it's more subtle. It's like I was in Chicago at night and I heard all these pumps running. And they said, what's that? And they said, well, it's against the law to dump the industrial waste into the Lake Michigan, but at night they all do it and bribe the inspectors, and that way they save more money than by the normal legal way of filtering and so on. Or like in India, they found that the ghee company and the soap company were right next door to each other. So what they were doing is, to make soap you need tallow. You know what tallow is? It's animal fat. Cow, pig, and so on. And, of course, ghee is the bona fide animal fat. But somehow when they tested the samples of ghee in the market, they found every one of them had animal fat in it. Even the vegetable ghee had the vanaspati, especially not in the ghee, but in this imitation ghee called vanaspati, made from this like hydrogenated vegetable oil that they make it to be similar to ghee. They call dalda, or vanaspati. And it all had animal fat, but it was supposed to be vegetable. And they found that they were taking from the soap factory the tallow, the fat, and then cutting, because that's very cheap in India. And they were cutting that into their soap. So even in Mayapur, when we heard this, we had to test every sample that we were buying in the market from that time. And two samples we found before we used them, we found that they had animal fat in it. Sweet shop, sometimes we use that vegetable for the public. The deities, we just use Australian ghee. So what these rich men do is after they do things like that, which is completely sinful, cheating, then they think, well, I'll open up a hospital, I'll open up a school, and this is going to counteract it. But it doesn't work that way. If you do a pious activity, you'll get the pious result. and you do a sinful act, you get to sinful root. But they don't negate each other. You have to get that many hits, and you can get that many bonus. But they don't counteract each other. The only way of actually counteracting sinful reactions is by Krishna consciousness. You accrue more karma. You're just adding to the wheel of karma, plus or minus, but the wheel is still spinning. You don't actually reduce. All you're doing, instead of doing something, you already did something, you added a plus, but you get to suffer your sinful reactions after enjoying your good reactions. That's the one benefit you're given. But sooner or later, you're going to have to suffer those. But only by devotional service is actually this material suffering counteracted or mitigated. Of course, mostly people, they don't understand the difference between ordinary fruitive charity or auspicious activity compared to devotional service, that actually awakening someone up spiritually, serving the deity of Krishna, that's on a different category, that's on a transcendental level. Well, just a material auspicious activity, that being material, it only has a limited effect. So it doesn't actually negate one's sinful activities. It's a very long purport. Let me just pick out some of the essential points here. This is one of the most revealing. Maybe I should read it tonight. Well, it goes here into impersonal speculations. It compares impersonal speculation, mystic yoga, and meditation to grains of sand that irritate the heart. So that makes also difficult for Krishna to sit in the heart. Even sometimes some yogis and gyanis, they take to chanting Hare Krishna. But because they think they've already got liberated or something, they just stop chanting. They don't understand that the ultimate goal is to realize Krishna. So in the Gita it says, Tanahang dvishata kruran sangsareshu naradaman. Kshipam yajashtam asubhan ashurishva eva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into the various demoniac species of life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us that all the grains of sand must be picked up thoroughly and thrown outside. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleansed the outside of the temple, fearing that the grains of sand would again come within. Not only cleaning the own consciousness, but even cleaning the environment around that you're living in, so that your association otherwise is good, pure, Krishna conscious, so that again, those dirts don't come in. Someone may oneself be cleansing the heart and advancing in Krishna consciousness, but again, if you intimately associate with people who are not cleansed or interested in being cleansed, then the danger is that you can also become, again, that dirt can again come back inside. So we have to be careful of that. This is not to associate with non-devotees. That means, of course, not just to intimately chit-chat with non-devotees because they can't help but just talk a bunch of nonsense and that can disturb the mind. We try to keep our talks to devotional preachings, discussion or practical services, and all the gossip and whatnot, useless discussions of the material world and useless association, which are tending to just rather bring our, again, dirt back into the mind. We avoid those as far as possible. So then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that even though one may become free from the desire for fruitive activity, sometimes a subtle desire for fruitive activity comes into being within the heart. One often thinks of conducting business to improve the devotional activity. However, the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into misunderstanding, described as kutinati, fault-finding, and pratishtasha, the desire for name and fame and for high position. Jiva hingsha, envy of other living entities, nishidachar, accepting things forbidden in the shastra, kama, desires for material gain, and puja, hankering for popularity. The word kutinati means duplicity. As an example, one may attempt to imitate Srila Haridas Thakur by living in a solitary place. One's real desire may be for name and fame. In other words, one thinks that fools will accept one to be as good as Haridas Thakur just because one lives in a solitary place. These are all material desires. A neophyte devotee is certain to be attacked by other material desires as well, women and money. In this way, the heart is again filled with dirty things and becomes harder and harder, like that of a materialist. Gradually, one desires to become a reputed devotee or an avatar incarnation. I think we've seen this many times, that even someone gave up the desire for fruitive activity with a devotee, but then somehow, just due to the habit of acting fruitively, acting and seeing some direct profit for what you're doing, that's a very strong attachment, especially in the West. Everyone wants to see the result of what they're doing. Just to do a devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna and not often seeing immediate result is just against the nature of a Westerner. They want to see results. But of course, sometimes Krishna doesn't give immediate results. Sometimes the results are long in coming. And sometimes Krishna gives an immediate result. It's not always, it's up to Krishna ultimately, but it's our duty to serve Krishna, and it's His duty to give us the results. We have to just continually try. But that desire about working and seeing a result for our work, that's a very subtle fruitive desire. And of course, in devotional service, when the spiritual master or the devotees give us a certain goal to achieve through our service, a certain result is a goal. Of course, we try to achieve that, depending upon Krishna. But when sometimes someone wants to leave devotional service and engage in some kind of a business or something, with the idea that, well, I'll do the business for X amount of time, and when I amass my fortune, then I'll give the money to Krishna. Then, what happens is, of course, that this can develop into misunderstanding. One starts to act in a fruitive way, and then they become critical of the devotees who are rendering steady devotional service, or they fall down in one way or another, or get any of these things that Prabhupada explained here. Accepting things forbidden in the Shastra, desire for material gain, hankering for popularity, and so on. So it's a very delicate line that someone wants to engage in some service, some activity, which is ultimately to promote devotional service. But if that activity itself is not devotional service, if it's a post-dated check, the danger is that contamination can set in. It's very practical, and we've seen it. People say, well, I'm going to practice outside, and they do some, and you see their devotional service goes way down. It's very hard for them to maintain outside the association. But when they go outside, especially, it's difficult. And there are many other circumstances and applications. So, of course, Prabhupada explained Jiva Hingsa, that if we don't preach, if we just sit down, that's also a type of violence. So he says here, to give us practical instructions, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleansed the temple twice. His second cleansing was more thorough. The idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service. He cleansed the temple with firm conviction, as is evident from his using his own personal garments for cleaning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see personally that the temple was thoroughly cleansed, as clean as marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances caused by material contamination. In other words, it is the process by which the mind is cooled. The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when one no longer desires anything but devotional service. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonalism, monism, success, And the other four, and the other, and the four principles of religious activity, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, all these are like spots on clean cloth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to cleanse all these away. In other words, the entire cleansing of the Gundicha temple is a practical example of cleansing our heart to prepare for Krishna coming. First, Lord Chaitanya took big branches, and you know, it's just only used for 7 days a year, so for 1 year it just became overgrown. So many leaves and branches and twigs had blown in from the, because it's a beautiful garden, and then there's the temple in the garden, so naturally things would blow inside. So first is to clean up all the rubbish and things that are in there, just like person, and we have the gross desires, breaking regulative principles, gross fruitive desire. This is just like very obvious. So the first thing is to cleanse those things out. But that's just the beginning. That's just one. Then you come back, and then they swept, just like you clean your first. Before you can sweep, you got to pick out the branches and the twigs and the pieces of stone, and you can't sweep with all these big things there. You click that out, pick it up, throw it out. Then you can sweep all the dust, small little pieces of sand, light leaves, things like that. The second cleansing is there. So that means that all right, after you get the principal material desires out, then you have to, all the little stumbling blocks. Right? Then after that, then again, Lord Chaitanya took water and thoroughly washed everything a third time. And it was very clean, right? Completely cleaning out even these very fine desires. And then after that, he came in with his nails. They picked out the cracks, that if there's any hint, any hidden little in the crevices, any little subtle hidden desire hasn't even shown his face yet, but it still might be ready to come up. He cleaned that out and wash it. So, Prabhupada says that by his practical activity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us how to cleanse our hearts. Once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Sri Krishna to sit down, and we should observe the festival by distributing prasadam and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So how do you distribute prasad when Krishna is sitting in your heart? So you have to distribute it internally. Only eat prasad and chant Hare Krishna. You see. Don't bring in non-prasad into the, because Krishna is in the heart, you see. So. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach every devotee by his personal behavior. Everyone who spreads the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. Prabhupada used the word cult. In India, cult is not considered a bad word. In a dictionary, it's not a bad word, but here now, it just means a religious movement. The Lord was personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of the cleaning. And those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. Actually, you can see that praise and some criticism is given. This is, of course, as I say, without any grudge, without any, I remember that it wasn't grudge, but that was like without any... without bearing a grudge, right? In other words, it's not like a personal, like something you say you're against someone personally and you make a criticism, that's like, it's different, you know, it's like a personal vendetta or something. It's not like that. Just for the sake of doing the service, sometimes someone, you want to encourage them, you say you did a good job. And then if someone could do better, you say, well, you're not doing as good as you could. And it's not a personal thing. It's the duty of the acharya and of anyone representing the acharya. In Prabhupada's presence, he would have the GBCs and temple presidents praise and chastise the people in their zones or temples. This was their duty. In fact, Prabhupada used to come by and And when he was in Mayapur for 2 months every fall, he would inspect and he would personally praise and chastise everybody. He would like take over as a temple president and show us how to do it for 2 months practically. And then he'd say, who's in charge of the garden? Why is this 1 foot square unplanted? Why you are wasting Krishna's land? Or he'd be walking and the water would be dripping. And he said, who left the tap on? Who is that nonsense? Or he'd go in and with his cane kick open the bathroom door and someone didn't flush the toilet. And there was just one visiting Acharya there. One visit, of course he wasn't Acharya then, but now later he was. But he is visiting GBC. He turned to him and he said that, how can you tolerate this? He was completely dumbfounded. He said, look, said, how are you allowing this? You know, it's not his zone, he's just visiting. He says, and you call yourself a Brahmana? Brahmana means that wherever he is, around it must be clean. So if you are a Brahmana, then you will not be able to tolerate any uncleanliness wherever you are. I think he got him because we were getting a little bit of the mercy and he was grinning. So he got it. You have to be in the proper mood of receiving the mercy when it's given by the Guru or Acharya. It's very important to take it in a humble, and if someone else happens to be in the mercy, you shouldn't think that it's not meant for you also. It's meant for everyone to take the lesson. So that was Prabhupada also, but also he would praise. If someone did good, he would say, oh, this is very nice. Krishna has inspired, it was a very well-cooked prasad. He said, Radharani has, I think Radharani has cooked through the devotee. So many wonderful praises would be given. So here are the last few sentences. The Lord was very pleased with those who could cleanse the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within. This is called anartha nibriti, cleansing the heart of all unwanted things. Thus the cleansing of the Gundicha Mandir was conducted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed. To receive Lord Sri Krishna, enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. This is the actual secret to having our heart soothed. To have the heart pacified. Heart means the mind is connected to the heart, of course. To have our heart and mind completely soothed, pacified, satisfied, we have to have Krishna sitting there. That's the only ultimate solution. Otherwise we can wander throughout the three worlds. Even the Brahma is not satisfied unless he has Krishna sitting in his heart. Our Brahma is fortunate to have Krishna sitting in his heart most of the time. At least now he definitely does, and after a certain point he did. But even to be a very powerful person, whatever, even a demigod, without being a devotee, without having Krishna in your heart, the mind, heart won't be peaceful. So how we can bring Krishna? Then you have to cleanse the heart and bring in Krishna, and then you become pacified. That's the only solution. There's no other solution which is permanent, which is complete. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki. Jai Gundicha Marjana Ki. Any question before the slideshow? Back to John, what do you think?
Relishing.
Some idea how to cleanse the heart?
Like the temple.
Actually, Mayapur Prabhupada would tell the devotees, cleansing the temple is just like cleansing your heart. He told the devotee, the temple doesn't mean just the temple room, but the grounds, the toilets, the everything. Everything that is property of Krishna.
So we have a lot of beads.
Your lawn here is...
charges.
Sometimes, like if I'm cleaning up, I feel like it's material energy too. You know, like I know I'm cleaning, or cleaning the grounds or room or whatever, but is it always devotional service and it's always cleansing my heart? Or, you know, I mean, I feel like I'm getting a little nitpicky.
The service is spiritual, but you should see it that way. If Krishna is known as Bhava Grahi Janardana, he accepts the mood of the devotee. If you're thinking that, this is, I'm cleaning some dirt, you know, then Krishna is accepting your mood of service. If you take the humble mood that I'm serving as a very menial maidservant of Lord Krishna, cleaning his temple, and for his pleasure, and this is cleaning my heart, you should think like that. Actually, the fact is cleaning your heart, but if you also think that way, that will make your service more effective. Chanting Hare Krishna doesn't require any mental adjustment. You can just chant Hare Krishna and think of the vibration. But service is more effective if you have a mental adjustment. That shouldn't be artificial, but it should be based on knowledge and on realization. But while serving, if one is serving, its service can also be in an offensive way, in a clearing way, in an offenseless way. So if a person is saying, I'm doing this for Krishna, but I hate it, and this, that might be a little offensive, but still it's good to do the service. Still it's cleansing, no doubt. But if one does it, all right, I would never do this ordinarily, but I'm doing it because it's only for you, Krishna, and for your pleasure, and I hope, well, then it's, a clearing stage. And then when you're seeing actually your, or even offenseless stage. So like this, we try in every activity, of course, we should, if we can't frame our mind, if it's not naturally framed in the right attitude, then we should chant as they did. Through all the work, they just chanted. So they don't have to worry. Just chant Krishna, Krishna. Is that all right?
Thank you. Generally speaking, in ISKCON temples, we worship Lord Chaitanya very, very opulently, sometimes in a similar way as Radha and Krishna, different types of dress and jewelry. So is it improper to think of Lord Chaitanya in the worship, in his activity as sannyas, or the renounced aspect?
Is it improper to think of Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi?
Yeah, in the worship.
In the worship. Well, it's not improper to think of Lord Chaitanya as his pastime as a sannyasi, but in the worship, you see that sannyasi pastime is very painful for the devotee. You see. I mean, this is the difference, of course, in the sentiment of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas or the pure devotees of Krishna, that they're very expert in rasa, in the mellows of devotion. And their complete attitude is to give pleasure to the Lord. That's called love, to want to serve the person you love, right? Offering voluntary service and opening your mind and offering foodstuff and so on. Wanting to please the other person, that's love. And wanting to please yourself, that's called selfishness. So when you're trying to see the object of your love pleased or happy or comfortable and so on, so then the idea of Lord Chaitanya shaving his head and just wearing one cloth and doing all this type of austerity, it's just unbearable for his devotees. That he's taking on an austerity, it just kind of, you compare that with, we were discussing something today about, bathing in the blood, and that we can never be pure. Jesus has died for our sins and everything. And just meditating on that, I mean, it's inconceivable. I mean, the gopis, when they thought of Krishna walking barefoot in the forest, that maybe the little pebbles were hurting his feet, they were just crying and weeping, and they just couldn't you know, any kind of inconvenience to Krishna was unbearable for them. And for a true, I mean, that's why Srila Prabhupada said, well, why not stress, I mean, Lord Jesus' childhood? He saw so many compassionate pastimes. I mean, he's a great preacher. He's a great, I mean, how can you meditate on your, if you're someone you love? Like you know, just like your father or something was killed in Nuremberg, would you remember the picture of him, you know, like, you know, just before the gas chamber or something? Or thin, I mean, just, you know, you'd go crazy. I mean, if you actually loved it, you want to remember him, you know, how he was your father. And it's just, you know, it's practically, it's like an unusual situation. It's very, you say, rasa bas. It's like a strange mixture of sentiments. It's a little bit off of tuning by the standard of loving devotional service as expressed by the Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. So for that reason, although, I mean, it is a real and factual pastime he had, and naturally we do meditate on that, and it does make us feel certainly obliged to him, just as naturally we also see that our Lord Jesus, he also went through this great austerity to deliver his followers, and Haridas Thakur went through that great austerity of being beaten in 21 marketplaces to preach the holy name. And there are so many examples like that, even of devotees who are going out preaching now and they get arrested sometimes, tortured, insulted, and so many difficulties are there just to push on the missionary work. But although we discuss those things, but normally we don't reproduce the visual so much, because it's just very upsetting. It's just, I mean, we do that if you want to rile somebody up or something, but get them very upset. The devotees are very soft-hearted, so they don't normally worship the Lord in that kind of austere mood. They want to see the Lord in his Navadvip pastime when he was like a young prince, when he would go with, and he was the leader of the Sankirtan movement, and he was very, hundreds of thousands of people following him, and it's just, you know, more natural mood, and that he artificially took on this, I mean, it seems almost artificial, and he took on this, this austerity for the purpose of preaching Krishna consciousness. It's just hard for the devotees to see that and meditate on that. It just brings their heart into like a type of a melancholy feeling, which is, of course, in some sects they like to produce that kind of a mood, but Lord Chaitanya recommended that we should rather come in the mood like of a daily festival. We should, you know, be in a more positive mood. We should see the Lord in his transcendental position as the enjoyer, as all blissful. That's why we worship Lord Chaitanya in his Navadvipa form. We worship him just in the mood that Advaita Acharya and others worshipped him in the Mahaprakash, when he was Lord Chaitanya, and he revealed himself that he was actually Krishna come as Lord Chaitanya for 21 hours. We worship him in that mood. Because otherwise you couldn't put a tulsi on Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. He wouldn't allow it. He's in the mood of devotee. But that's why we sing Kiba Jayo Jayo Gora Chandra, Arotika Shobha, and Brahma, and all the demigods were doing arti. That time when on the plea of Advaita and other devotees, they more or less were able to induce him to, out of his causeless mercy, to reveal his full glory, his actual position, for 21 hours. And then after that, it was very rarely shown. And these are very high, subtle. So ultimately, one has to understand the mellows and flavors of devotional service to get into the higher realms, to be able to distinguish between a compatible emotional relationship and incompatible. conjugal love and parental love are incompatible. Or conjugal and friendship, well, they sometimes compatible. It's like that, there's certain compatibilities, certain incompatibilities. Any other questions? I'm of the show. Saturday night movies? Late, late show?
Lights.
Was there any and went to New York and I flew to London, reached there the 10th morning, caught the flight on the 10th night and reached it was 10th night, I reached the 12th morning, somehow anywhere I reached the 12th morning in Bombay, and I couldn't get a flight out. Somehow I missed the flight. So they have to pull every string in the book and without any reservation fly through 3 different cities and then just somehow or another get on the connecting flight by dropping. There's 20 people on the waiting list in each place, but we just got the duty officer to give us the boarding pass ahead of everybody. You can do things like that in India because it's not mechanized yet. And we got just that morning to Madras for the Rath Yatra, the 13th of January. This is in Madras, the second annual Rath Yatra festival during the occasion of Pongal, which is the Christmas biggest celebration in the state of Tamil Nadu, which is in South India on the Bay of Bengal. Lord Chaitanya visited Madras, or in the vicinity, went by it. It's got an ancient temple there of Krishna, dating back thousands of years. But they never had Jagannath Rath Yatra there, which is normally a North Indian festival, so they actually came out pretty good crowd, pretty many thousands of people were following along. Was advertised well in advance. Everybody lined up along the street to see, and many people came along. For them, the Madrasis, it was a new. They have a lot of caste-conscious rivalry between Brahmanas and Sudras. You hear stories. One time, the politicians forced the Brahmins to leave one temple, and all the sweepers to go in the temple to do the puja. After the sweepers are doing the puja for 2 days, who can stay in this hot deity room, sweaty, no ventilation, just sitting here with the smell of camphor and incense? We can't take it. We want to go out, sweep the, you know what. So then they brought the Brahmins back and said, all right. You know. So here, this festival is something where Brahmins, Sudras, Hindus, Christians, Muslims, anybody, they can all come along and pull the Rath cart, so communist, capitalist, everyone. So it's very popular. Since, Calcutta has a mad frenzy because everybody knows what Rath Yatra is and they're killing each other to try to pull the cart. Here, they have Rath Yatra of a different form, but this Jagannath Rath Yatra, they're not fully used to yet, so they do come up and pull the cart. But this is the sheriff of Madras. She's bigger than the mayor. It's like the sheriff of the county of Madras. So what happened to the mayor? There's no mayor. Because the municipality was prorogued or whatever they call it. It was squashed by the government. So she's acting mayor plus bigger than the mayor, both. So she came and she gave a very nice talk saying how they were very appreciative of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness of bringing that's me actually sitting next to her, bringing the culture of Jagannath, which very few Madrasis could go up to Puri and see, bring it down to in Krishna consciousness,
culture, bring it down to South India. And she also praised Srila Prabhupada for taking the Sanatana Dharma all over the world, and said that everyone should feel very much indebted to Srila Prabhupada for his contribution to Indian culture around the world. If you haven't noticed, Madras is like the movie capital of but no one is watching the movie posters. Their eyes are fixed on Jagannath. It's very good. People are so many pandits there. It's very common for someone to quote 5 or 6 verses from the Bhagavad Gita and ask you to give your interpretation in a class. You better know Sanskrit. I just quote them in Sanskrit. People are looking from the buildings, throwing flowers sometimes. No one was offensive. Everyone was in a very favorable festive mood. Everyone was very appreciative.
Notice the bank, they have the Lakshmi Devi.
Dana Bank. Dana is the name of Lakshmi. You put your Lakshmi in Lakshmi's bank. We gave her a garland.
She's a woman?
She's the sheriff of the county of Madras, and she's bigger than the mayor. There's no mayor, so she's also like the acting mayor. So she said, you know, I'm very fortunate there's no mayor, so I could get called, because she, I don't know if the picture came out, but she was sweeping the road.
Oh.
She said, I heard that the mayor of San Francisco and mayor of Vancouver and the chief justice of Calcutta and other, they sweep the road just like the king of Puri does. So I feel very honored that I get this opportunity as the sheriff of Madras to sweep the road in front of Lord Jagannath. She.
The pulp and mercy grass.
Gold.
Solid?
Gold colored brass special alloy. Special alloy. That's Lokanath Swami from different Swamijis came from different parts of India. At night, when the Rath Yatra was going on, of course, Jagannath was lit up by a generator. So it's very beautiful, very festive at night.
What's the Nyasi saying?
Is that Bhakti Namasubh Swami? Or Sridhar Swami, maybe. Sridhar Swami came with me.
From Bombay?
Yes. Sridhar Swami from Bombay. Our Canadian, he's a Canadian Swami. Srila Prabhupada. Well, then after the Rath went for, it's an incredibly long route. I mean, it went from 1 o'clock until, it seemed never, until 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. It was ecstatic the whole way, though. He didn't actually realize it was so long until we arrived there. We realized, you know, so many hours had gone by. Much like in Calcutta, even though it's so many hours, you don't have a time to think about how the time is going by. So here Prabhupada was seated on the dais of the hall, the big pavilion where we're going to be having our evening programs. These are some of the VIPs. One minister, he spoke, the minister of health, and he said that he felt that by chanting Hare Krishna, that this created a mental and spiritual purity, which was also important for good health. He's speaking now. There was a few doctors there came to hear him. I forget, I think Lokanath Swami put him on the spot. Said that, I forget what he said.
What is that place?
It's the most famous, called the Mangala, what do you call it? It's like a pavilion. It's the most famous pavilion in Madras for this type of function. We rented it. It's got an air-conditioned hall upstairs and a kitchen and opposite from this is Jagannath Deity, and it's got a stage where we did dramas and cultural shows. That lady speaking, she's again the sheriff. She came again. She liked it so much that she said, I'd like to come again and speak at your program. She's actually a devotee. It's really wonderful. She's also at the same level as the minister. Now here, we've switched over to Mayapur. This is probably at the festival.
Yeah. This is on the roof.
Oh, this is outside my bhajan bhuti. On the penthouse bhuti.
Is that this festival?
Yeah, this is this festival.
So Tripod and Srila Vishnupad have penthouses on top of
overlooking the holy land.
There's big gardens all up in there on top of the gardens.